Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Showalter, your host for Science Elements, a digest of cutting-edge research from the American Chemical Society, the world's largest scientific society. There probably isn't a spot on the globe, perhaps excluding Antarctica, where terrorism isn't a threat. But fortunately, there are plenty of people, including a slew of scientists who are diligently working to prevent those threats from becoming a deadly reality. In this episode, we take a look at a couple of recent advances that could help keep us safe from harm. So in the next few minutes, you'll hear about how a simple new test could improve airport security, how scientists are closing in on a better way to counteract mass poisoning, and finally, in an unrelated story, how new efforts could help preserve China's famed terracotta warriors. Airport security is conspicuous, annoying, and for the most part effective, but that doesn't mean it can't get better. And leave it to scientists in Israel, a country that probably faces more terrorist threats than any other in the world, to do exactly that. Yehuda Ze'eri and colleagues say they have developed a simple way to improve the sensitivity of the test often used to detect traces of explosives on the hands, carry-ons, and other possessions of passengers at airport security screening stations. Their report appears in the Journal of Physical Chemistry C, a weekly ACS publication. Ze'eri explains that most tests for traces of explosives begin by rubbing a swab made from glass fiber, Teflon, or cotton over the suspect material. Analysis of the swab in a detector, usually a device called an ion mobility spectrometer, alerts agents to any explosive residues on the swab material. Common explosives like TNT are solids with very low vapor pressure at room temperature. The best way to detect them is to search for particulate traces that rub off on clothing and luggage. To help security agencies prevent attacks more successfully, the researchers studied how explosive particles adhere to surfaces and how they could improve swabs to pick up even smaller amounts of explosives. To do it, the research team used an atomic force microscope to measure the adhesive forces between explosive particles and different self-assembled monolayers. They concluded that swab fabrics could be improved to collect smaller amounts of explosives by peppering them with hydroxyl, phenyl, and amine functional groups. Ze'eri believes that these changes could enhance the binding between the swabs and irregularly shaped explosive particles. In 2003, according to the New York City Police Department, Al-Qaeda planned to release cyanide gas in the city's subway system, which carries more than 5 million passengers every day. Thankfully, for some reason, the attack never occurred. But that doesn't mean terrorists have given up on the idea. In fact, several plots involving cyanide have been exposed in recent years. Cyanide appeals to terrorists because it's readily available, fairly easy to use, and depending on how it is dispersed, can kill lots of people very quickly. Fortunately, there are ways to counteract its effects and save lives. Now scientists in Minnesota say they've discovered a promising substance that could be the basis for development of a better and easier-to-use antidote for cyanide poisoning. Better yet, they report that the potential antidote could be self-administered, much like the medication delivered by allergy injection pens. Their finding appears in the Journal of Medicinal Chemistry, a weekly ACS publication. Steve Patterson and colleagues explain that the only existing antidotes for cyanide must be administered by intravenous infusion. That procedure requires highly trained paramedical personnel and takes time. However, cyanide is a fast-acting poison, so in situations involving mass casualties, only a few people could be saved. Patterson's team sought an antidote that could be administered by intramuscular injection. This simpler procedure could be administered rapidly to a large number of victims, or even be self-administered. Their report describes discovery of sulfanogen TEA, a substance that Patterson says could be used to develop an injectable antidote to treat victims of a mass cyanide attack. In our final story this week, scientists unearthed new ways to protect the soldiers defending a head of state in the afterlife. As one of the most tyrannical rulers in Chinese history, Emperor Qin Shi Huang knew he would need protection in the afterlife. So soon, after he ascended to the throne in 221 BC, he began building his tomb, which he surrounded with an underground 8,000-man army of terracotta warriors. Discovered in 1974, these immaculate statues have become a sensation, drawing tourists from around the world. But now that they've been exposed, preserving them has become a challenge. In an effort to solve this conundrum, scientists in China suggest that the principal museum housing the collection make a number of modifications that would recreate the primitive environment in which they were buried. Their report appears in ACS Journal Environmental Science and Technology, a semi-monthly ACS journal. Drow Lin Gu and colleagues point out that environmental factors have deteriorated many of the more than 1,500 unearthed relics in China's Museum of Qin Terracotta Warriors and Horses and in other large open space museums. The Qin Museum covers an area equal to the size of nearly 3 football fields. More than 5 million people visit the museum every year to see the life-size terracotta figures of warriors and horses uncovered in the mausoleum of Qin Shi Huang, who became the first emperor of all China. The researchers recommend new measures to preserve such artifacts. One involves use of an air curtain that would blow across the space to separate the figures in the Qin Museum from the outside environment. The air curtains would keep pollutants and heat away from the inside of the pits. A layer of cool air would also be used in the bottom of the pits to help form a blanket of stagnant air around the relics for protection from the environment. Well, that's all for now. I'm Dr. Steve Showalter for the American Chemical Society. Science Elements is adapted for podcasts from ACS press releases in the ACS Weekly Press Packs. To access this week's press pack, February 6, 2013, go to www.acs.org/pressroom. From all of us at Science Elements, thanks for listening.